sapere se no,
our first ever meeting of the SIX administration with the office of the Auditor General. We also want to welcome the collective from the office of the Auditor General, ladies and gentlemen. You are welcome. You must just feel free and relax. We are in the People's Tourism Portfolio Committee. Ourselves here, just to introduce ourselves, my name is Supraoba King Ramo Elezi Mahuma Pelo, S-O-R. And next to me here is Honorable Shelly Makubel, Michelle. She has got other names like what she shared, any other names. And then we have the Honorable Peter. Honorable Peter. Oh, Honorable Michelle is the African National Congress. Honorable Peter is also ANC. And then we've got ST, Honorable Taiko, the Madam. We call it TS. We call her TS in the committee. she's also from the ANC. And then we've got Honorable Gomba, but in the committee she's called Gomba Gomba.
Oh, yes.
also from the ANC. Next to her is Honorable Gumbi. So it's Gomba and Gumbi. our hooker. Yeah, it's our hooker of the committee. So when we have him, we know we are okay. He's from the DA, Democratic Alliance. And then we have Honorable Muteka, who is from the Economic Freedom Fighters. Freedom Fighters. We haven't yet given him a nickname, so we'll work on it. We'll work on it slowly. And then we have Honorable Khalo from the AIC. From the AIC. It's called Matatiere. That's the better brand name. He made Matatiele very popular and famous. He's the person responsible for this popularity of Matatiele. So he did very well there. So he's a straddler between KZN and the Eastern Cape. So he deals with those matters very effectively. All these other big parties and other parties had no option but to accept that there is honorable Khalo from Matatiele. And society wanted it like that. That's why we have it here. Honorable Khalo, you're welcome. So this is the collective of the tourism, the People's Tourism Portfolio Committee. Other members are not here. We've got an apology from Honorable Krambok from the Democratic Alliance. We also have an apology from Honorable Mieni of the ANC, and then we have Honorable Sithole of the Inkatha Freedom Party, IFP. And then we have, apologizing, Honorable Gifrida. Yes, Honorable Gumi.
No, Chairperson, Honorable Defeat is just late. He just had to end up going to the pharmacy, so he asked that I just mention that he's going to be late.
All right. So he is part of us. He has gone to the pharmacy. Those are the apologies that we have. Our agenda is very clear. It's before us there. 10 o'clock. We are now already at 21 minutes past 10. But we have to deal with matters that are related to energy infusion. so that we can be able to meet today. So we'll see how we count the time. And then we'll have a briefing by the AG on the 18-19 audit outcomes. Later on, we'll deal with our own minute correspondence and closure. AG's office, just before I give you, in this committee, we have agreed that we are going to make a contribution to the rebranding, repositioning, and renewal of the economy of South Africa through our oversight work as the Tourism Portfolio Committee. Secondly, we have said that our focus for the next 4 years, whilst we do the rest of the other things, like this matter of today, but our focus is going to be on two things. The first one will be transformation in the tourism sector. The second one will be strengthening all-round oversight from the ground up to where we are, the top level. Those are the things we are going to be mainly focusing on in as far as our oversight is concerned. Our approach is of being a cooperative, reciprocative, uncooptable, incisive oversight approach. That's our approach as the committee. So when you do good to us, we do good to you. When you do bad to us, we could consider reciprocating. But we are very gentle people in this committee. We don't think that we must initiate things that don't exist. We only deal with things that exist, that they are at our disposal, to make sure that humanity based in South Africa lives a much better life, and that future generations can inherit a much, much better society than the one we inherited from the past generation. So in summary, that is our broad approach as the committee here. One of the things you might be interested in, which we have infused, which you might have to keep at the back of your mind, not for auditing purposes, but for knowledge enhancement, is that as the committee, we are going to be having on the ground in the communities, community-based oversight tourism funds, which are going to enhance the work that we do at this level, but also our focus unashamedly without shaking is going to be on building economies of the villages through tourism, the economies of the townships through tourism, the economies of the small towns through tourism. We prefer to call them small dorps in Africa, because that's where poverty is. I know you don't audit poverty, where poverty is located and so on, but that's where poverty is located, in the villages, the townships, and small dorps. So we are going to be driving the department in that direction, to say if we are to deal with poverty, inequality, and unemployment, the triple challenges which are in the National Development Plan, we must go to where they exist and where they are more prevalent. And they are more prevalent in the villages, in the townships, and small towns. That's what SSA statistics are telling us, in order of priority. They are like that. Village, township, small town. The day in South Africa we'll have resolved these three challenges is when in these three areas of villages, township, and small dorp, we no longer have the three variables in the economy of poverty, inequality, unemployment. So the three variables are in three areas, which is village, township, small town. So if the entire South Africa could do that, then we clear off poverty, inequality, and unemployment in the three. And then we can stop migrating to the bigger cities, because we have sorted out problems in the villages and townships. I just thought, as part of opening remarks, I must draw your attention to some of the things that we do, which is our approach, which is our philosophy. Part of our philosophy here in the committee is to pull together, to work together, no matter the circumstances. It's in African, some work, some track. No matter the circumstances, we work together, we pull together in the same direction, because the objective is the same. That's how we are welcoming you. Honorable members, at the end, or during the course of the meeting, as you listen and interact with the office of the AG, there is a client satisfaction questionnaire which is being distributed to us, so that we can rate the performance of the Office of the Auditor General from excellent to poor. So you will listen to your instincts. What are they telling you? But your instincts will be based on the interaction that is taking place, which means you can't fill the form now, because you don't know what is going to transpire during the course of the meeting. So as you listen and you engage, you will then begin to say, do I say excellent or do I say poor? Or a satisfactory or average or whatever, or good. So you are welcome, honorable members, and we welcome again the Office of the Auditor General. And I'm now going to take this opportunity to hand over to Batuba Officer Morunyi Kakaretso. In Setswana, Auditor General's office is Morunyi Kakaretso. Over to you, Office of the Auditor General. You will introduce your team, introduce yourself, and take it from there. I take it that the staff from tourism, you know them. So you have been working together for many years. All right, over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will start by introducing myself. My name is Kamsa Reuters, and I'm the Senior Audit Manager responsible for the Department of Tourism and its entity.
Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, members. My name is Mukona Nicholas. I'm the Senior Manager for the NGST.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and Senior Officials. My name is Temo Khartou. I'm the Secretary Manager. In the past, we used to call it the Parliamentary Manager in the Fund Office of the Auditor General. Thank you.
Thank you.
Paul Masimula, parliamentary manager of the Minister.
Thank you, my leader, the Alliance and the Stakeholder Nation.
Peter Sonika, parliamentary liaison officer in the Office of the Director General of the World.
Morning, everybody. It's Ma Hussain from PMG.
Good morning, all. I'm Sandra Loni, Research Support.
I'm Chair of the Committee Section of the Party.
Over to you, AG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will start with slide 2, Honorable Members. On slide 2, we list our reputation promise, which reads as follows. As the Auditor General of South Africa, we have a constitutional mandate, and as the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa, we exist to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. And then in slide 3, basically explains the purpose of this engagement is to assist the portfolio committee in its oversight role looking at the performance of the portfolio of tourism, and also taking that into consideration when you prepare your budgetary review and documentation report. Then moving to the audit outcomes on slide 5. On slide 5, we just indicate the three areas that we focus on as part of our annual audit. We look at the fair presentation of financial statements and whether they comply with the applicable rules in preparing financial statements. We also look at the reliability and the credibility of the reported performance of the entity and its department. And thirdly, we also look at compliance with key legislation that we have put into the audit for potential purposes. Slide number 6, we explain the different audit opinions that we expect after we have conducted our audit. The first one being on the left, far left, the green one that we normally refer to as the green audit. Here is normally when auditees produce financial statements that don't have material errors, and they comply with the legislation and the reported performance doesn't have a significant finding. The other opinion that we issue is financially unqualified with findings. On this opinion, normally we would have identified material misstatements on the financial statements that auditees subsequently managed to correct, or you find that in addition to that, we have findings on material findings on the reported performance and compliance with legislation. The third one is qualified audit opinion, where we've identified material misstatements on the financial statements and auditors are unable to correct the misstatements. And it also similar to the unqualified with findings, where we find that we have material findings on non-compliance as well as a reported performance. The fourth type of audit opinion that we express is the adverse opinion. On the adverse opinion, we have a lot of misstatements identified on the financial statements. Due to disagreements, we would have received the information, we would have audited, but we have disagreements, and it affects a lot of items on the financial statement and the disclosure notes. And also, there might be findings again on predetermined objectives and non-compliance with legislation. Then the fifth type of the audit opinion is the disclaimer opinion. The disclaimer opinion is similar to the adverse opinion, but here, instead of us having disagreements, we would have not received the information. As a result, we have the limitation in us doing the work, and we don't express an opinion with disclaimer. I would like to finish the presentation, then we'll take the questions when I'm done. Okay, and then slide number seven explains the different legends that we use throughout the presentation. The audit outcomes are indicated, they relate to the different audit opinions that I spoke to. And then in just below that, those legends explain the movements in previous years or whether things have changed or not. Then, slide number 8, this is a theme that we've adopted as an organization for the 18-19 audit. We call it the accountability wheel. So basically, we are saying accountability begins at the planning stage, when departments and entities plan for the year ahead or the 3 or 5 years that are upcoming in terms of what they plan to do in terms of service delivery and how they will go about achieving that. And during the process of then implementing the plan, the auditors will have to procure goods and services which they'll have to follow the law. And they also have to report their accounts in terms of how they're spending the money in line with the rules or that are applicable for preparing financial statements. And while you are doing that, you'll have to do, which involves complying with the internal controls that will be in place there should be supervision to ensure that people adhere to the internal controls. And under check, there should also be monitoring from the assurance providers, like your audit committee, your internal audit, to exercise oversight to ensure that people comply, the auditors comply with the laws and they are adhering to the internal controls, and also monitoring the performance, whether are we still on track in achieving what we plan to achieve at the beginning of the financial year. Then, under X is consequences, where we are saying if during the monitoring and the checking phase, it's identified that auditees are not following the rules, are not complying with the law, consequences must be implemented against those that are accountable. And this will lead to better audit outcomes, and it also has an impactful, it will have a better impact on the citizens of the country by receiving a good service center. Slide number 9 just shows that we are the presentation is based on the department and its end system. Then I'll move over to slide 10. On slide 10, we have indicated the history of the audit outcomes for the previous 5 years for both the department and the end system. And in the current financial year, there was a regression when we compared to the last financial year. I will start with explaining what led to the regression at the department. Before I go into that, we found significant issues under the sub-program that falls under the destination development called Working for Tourism. So this sub-program is really important to the department and the country, because basically its purpose is to renovate or repair infrastructure projects that relate to your lodges or conferences in the tourism sector. And in the ETWP also, there's an element of training the unemployed youth in the country, especially the youth that is not skilled. So it is empowering them to have at least to at least be employable in the future. And the other important thing is that most of these projects are located at the villages that the chair was speaking to earlier on, to say that for the next 10, that will be the focus of the portfolio committee. So on slide 17, I will go into that in detail, but we've highlighted the deficiencies that we have identified that we think that if they are tightened, it will actually have a good impact to ensure that this project work as intended for the country. Okay. So the department regressed from unqualified findings last year to a qualification in the current year. And the qualification related to infrastructure projects where, for example, the department would have paid money to build or renovate these lodges. I'll give an example at a project that we visited in Northwest, Manyani project. The budget was finished. It was around 47 million. And as part of the progress report, it was stated that, for example, there was roofing, there was walls built, and when we got there, there was no roofing. That was okay. But I think it is also important to highlight that most of these projects, they were very old projects that come from years back that were sold. And the department began a process of appointing GTEC to assist them in terms of determining the feasibility study and how to carry forward the project to make sure that they become feasible in the future. And as to the commitments that they had made previously, they had committed to implement their recommendations as at end of March 2019. That's why this year we followed up on the recommendations. And also during the previous engagements that we had with the portfolio committee, the portfolio committee used to express concerns about the infrastructure project, and this year we had to re-look at our approach in terms of how we go about auditing the infrastructure project, and that's how these issues surfaced. So yeah, I think the main thing there was that you found that the money has been spent, but then when you go to the ground, we can't verify some of the things that money has been allocated to. And the major cause of this is that the department doesn't have the necessary capacity, like your engineers who would come and certify as and when the project progresses. They will rely on the project managers that don't have those quantity surveyor skills, for example. And as a result, this affected both immovable complete, immovable meaning the completed project and the project that were in work in progress. So initially we raised the finding, and the department embarked on a process of appointing the expert, the engineers expert, to assist them to really go and see whether more or less how much it costed versus what could be verified on the ground. And that's when it was identified that some of the items, there was overpayment, which resulted in fruitless and wasteful expenditure that is currently also being qualified on the department. There were other material misstatements that you identified on the financial statements, like your commitment, your prepayment and advances, but those ones, fortunately, the department managed to correct them. The other thing that tripped the department in the current year was non-compliance that resulted in irregular expenditure. But then this was mainly because the department uses the implementing agents to implement this infrastructure project. And this implementing agents, they will procure services on behalf of the department. And when they do that, unfortunately, they don't follow the law. That's what triggered the non-compliance and the irregular expenditure was recorded in the of the department. And then they had a little non-compliance as well as relating to the level of prevention of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Then I'll move over to the entity. The entity, the overall audit outcome did not regress when you compare to last year. However, because they didn't have material misstatements that were corrected on the financial statements. However, there was an increase in irregular expenditure. On the entity, we had finalized the audit at the end of July. And then on the 2nd of August, we met with the Minister of Tourism. And the Minister briefed us about the investigation that was ongoing relating to the CEO, that it had been concluded. And when we signed off the audit report, we were of the view that it was not done. After the meeting with the Minister, we had to retract our audit report and reopen the audit. And when we reopened the audit, we identified an additional irregular expenditure that increased, that resulted in irregular expenditure increasing to about 94 million being disclosed at the financial statement. And the other regression from, and the major cause of this irregular expenditure resulted to a contract that was extended, where a threshold was reached and it should have been approved by National Treasury, and the entity did not approach National Treasury for approval. Then the other regression relates to predetermined objectives, where we were unable to obtain sufficient audit evidence regarding the business events that are being hosted in the country and the number of international delegates that attend these events. So the entity relied on event organizers to gather the evidence, and when we came to audit, we were unable to obtain the full documents to support the reported performance. Okay, I'll move over to slide 11. So slide 11 is somehow a repetition of what I've said already, but we're just comparing last year with this year. Last year, financial statements were submitted on time, end of May, which was the same case in the current year for both the entity and the department. And for AFS, submitted without error, they introduced a financial statement that didn't have error, which was a regression from, which was the same as last year. And then in the quality of financial statements after the audit, it regressed this year. Last year we also had material misstatements on the department, but they were able to correct them after the audit. But then unfortunately this year they were unable to correct the misstatements, hence we have a qualification. And we've also listed the qualification areas relating to the department that I have already spoken to. Slide 12. On slide 12, now we are looking at the credible performance reporting relating to the predetermined objective. There was a regression when you compare to last year. Both the entity and the department submitted the performance report that had errors. And fortunately, the department managed to correct the misstatements that we had identified. But then the entity could not correct because they relied on the event organizers, like I mentioned earlier, and we are unable to get the social documents for the business events reported and the number of delegates that are attended to the event. On slide 13, we are taking to material non-compliance. The first one, this is still the same as last year. If you compare 2018 to 2019, there were literal non-compliance findings reported in the previous financial year. However, there's been an increase in the number of literal non-compliance. The literal misstatements that were identified on the department is triggered a non-compliance because in terms of the PFMA, financial statements that are submitted for audit must be free from errors, material errors. And we also have procurement issues on the department. On the department, it relates to issues of local content where we identified that the bid documents did not stipulate the requirements of local content by suppliers. And we also have the issues that I mentioned to relating to the implementing agents not following the law when they are procuring goods and services, and specifically it's related to the not implementing the PPFA Act, where you look at your BE requirements or when you are providing the evaluation and allocating points, they were not applying that at all. To ensure that the award is being awarded to a fairly deserving company. And then on the entity, the non-compliance related to lack of prevention of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Sorry, on the entity, it's related to the procurement and contract management, where extensions were made and the new team approval from National Treasury. And lastly, then the prevention of irregular and fruitless expenses related to the department, and for the entity, is related to the lack of prevention of irregular expenses. On slide 14, we did an assessment of status of internal control. So we did an assessment by looking at the type of deficiencies that we identified, at which level do they relate to. We normally assess the internal controls at three levels, which is leadership, financial and performance management, and governance. So the regression is on financial and performance management, where you look at the department, there was lack of proper record keeping in terms of the source documents that we were not able to agree to what the process that we were physically verifying. There were inconsistencies between what is reported on the asset registers versus the project that we physically verified, like I indicated earlier. And in addition to this, we find that there were projects that were stated that they were complete, and when we went and we visited the project, even that the project has not even begun. I will give an example about another project which was in Mpumalanga, where the budget was about 24 million allocated to the project. And when we went there, we could hardly verify most of the things, and the explanation that we had received was that initially the plan was to implement the project, but the implementer realized that it would take longer. As a result, they only did planning, but the money was finished. On daily monitoring and control, here is similar issue to say that it looks like there was no reconciling of what is on the ground versus what the accounting records would state at the department. As we have identified other material errors on your commitments, your prepayments and advances, and the ones that the department were unable to correct. And regarding review and monitoring of non-compliance is the non-compliances that are just presented in the previous slide. And on slide 15, we looked at the assurance providers in relation to audit outcomes. And when we looked at the breakdown of internal controls, we realized that they were lying at the level of senior management in terms of what is they are expected to do from their side. And every department, you find that the internal audit previously had reported these issues. As a result, the audit committee exercised oversight using internal audit, but it is that the senior management did not implement corrective action plans. And normally on the slide, we also have an assessment of the portfolio committee, but for this year, we didn't add it because the portfolio committee of business administration is still new. So this, we will do an assessment going forward in the next financial year. Then slide 17. Talk to the internal control deficiencies that I was referring to earlier on to say that there was GTEC appointed by the department to try and identify why this project is not moving and not having the impact that it was intended to do in terms of employment in the local communities once this project ran. And the department had committed to implement its action plans by end of March 2019. And as a follow-up audit and including changing our approach to identify the issues that was speaking to. So we identified that, for example, the department, the way they would go about implementing project management on these infrastructure projects is not aligned to your normal infrastructure project where there are no engineers to come for a professional to come and say so much work has been done and we think it's worth $500,000, for example. And even with the SLAs that are being used are not aligned to the construction industry. That will require people being penalized, if maybe. For some of the implementers, they will just change the scope as they go along and they wouldn't even inform the department. But because the SLA is not tied to hold the implementers accountable, the department then they have nothing to do. They couldn't do anything. And in terms of variation of orders and extension of time requests, where maybe the implementers exceed the time, then you find that maybe the contract didn't have a clause to say if you exceed the time, this is what's going to happen. Okay, and then the instructions from the department to stop the project were also not formalized, were ad hoc. Meaning that there were not, there was no like formally written document approved at an appropriate level, and that there were no payment certificates. That one I've already spoken to, and that some of these implementing agents that were being appointed by the department found that they don't have the construction industry experience to exercise oversight on this project. I'll move over to slide 19. On slide 19, we talk to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We compare last year, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and this year. And we normally follow up on the investigation in the following year. For example, the fruitless expenditure that we've reported this year, we'll follow it up next year to determine whether it was investigated or not. We did recommend to the department to institute proper investigation and to hold those liable accountable. So the investigations that are indicated on the green bars are based on the fruitless expenses that was reported last year. And then for the current financial year, the fruitless expenses increased to 20 million, 120 million, sorry, when you compare to last year. And the increase, the major increase is based on the fruitless expenses identified during the infrastructure projects relating to the department, where an exercise was done, like I explained earlier, to say they overpaid on some of the projects that were done, or couldn't verify things that where money was paid for. And the department is currently qualified on fruitless and wasteful expenditure because they couldn't fully quantify the amount that was disclosed. On irregular expenses, the next slide, slide 20. The irregular expenses increased last year from 4 million to 121 million. And the major increase here related to the increase rate into South African tourism, which was about 94 million. This related to the matter that I was speaking to earlier about the investigation and us reopening the audit and identifying an additional irregular expenditure. And it related to the contracts not being approved by National Treasury as required by the practice note 3 of 2016-17. And the other part that relates to irregular expenditure relates to the department where there's non-compliance by procurement agencies when they procure business services on behalf of the department in applying the preferential points. Slide 21. Slide 21, we normally summarize the common findings that come from the SCM processes. And for the portfolio, it relates to two issues, the extension of contracts and the lack of applying the preferential point system to ensure that correct points are located and the DEEE rating are correctly allocated and self-deserving suppliers are selected. On slide 22, this one would have been based on the 17-18 audit outcomes. As a result, there were nothing to investigate relating to fraud and SCM misconduct. We'll follow up on the issues that we reported this year next year, and then if there are things implemented, we'll report on this slide. Then the root causes. On slide 23, we linked the resources of the audit outcome to two issues relating to the entity and the department. So for the entity, we identified that there seemed to be a slow response in addressing the issues that we've reported. Because if you look at the entity, for example, the issue of contract management, this is a non-compliance that we reported last year and the repeat finding in the current financial year. So the department, the entity will have to implement controls in improving the non-compliance. And in these ones, you find that in most instances, okay, I think this one was an anomaly if you look at the investigation that took place, but in most instances, we identify these non-compliances in these foreign country offices where they are not implementing the Public Finance Management Act. And on the department, the root cause that we've identified is that the department doesn't have the required capacity and skills to exercise oversight in this infrastructure project, because we would need someone who's an engineer, you would need someone who's a quantity surveyor to be able to exercise a proper oversight, and not someone like me who's an accountant. I don't know anything about engineering infrastructure. As a result, I might miss things instead of identifying issues. As a result, the department will have to invest in increasing the skills within the department. Slide 24, we have listed the recommendations. The first one being that we are saying there must be action plans that are developed and they must be implemented and monitored before to address the prior audit findings before the end of the financial year. And then specifically there must be action plans that are closely monitored relating to the EPWP and during the evaluation and monitoring of deliverables on the agreement. And that the department must exercise oversight with the agreements that they have with the implementing agents, or tighten the agreements that they have. And there must be consequence management that is implemented against officials that are responsible, including the EPWP implementing agents. Okay. The fourth recommendation was actually meant for the minister that we briefed her on. It was part of the issues that we highlighted in the investigation. We just recommended her to conduct a further investigation relating to that matter. And then to the portfolio committee, we are recommending that as part of the exercising oversight, you must just do regular monitoring and follow up with the minister and the DG to ensure that there are proper action plans in place and address the audit outcomes, and that progress is made in monitoring the EPWP committee agents, and that there is consequence management implemented at the department. Slide 25 lists the initiatives that we have introduced in the organization in order for us not to come when it's very late in the audit. So we have regular engagements with the accounting officers, the CEO, during the year. We also do what we call the status of records review, where we come on a quarterly basis, high level. We review financials and internal controls to see if there's anything that might trip the entities towards the end of the year. And also, roadshows that have been done to share audit outcomes by our AG in the media after every cycle. And we also have a capacity building initiative by COPTA, Treasuries, and others. We were supposed to have had a capacity building with you as the new portfolio committee, but due to time constraints, the session couldn't materialize. But we'll be working on arranging a session after this engagement. Only for that. Then the last slide, we are just touching on the expansion on our mandate, where the Public Audit Act was reviewed and there were changes. So these new expansion include us referring material irregularities to relevant bodies for further investigation if we don't have a capacity internally, or if we feel like maybe the public protector is the best suited for you to investigate the matter. And if after we've recommended, we've issued recommendations and they're included in the audit report and they don't be implemented, we can issue a remedial action to enforce the recommendations that we've recommended, to enforce the implementation of our recommendations, sorry. And if after our remedial action, nothing has still been done, then we can issue a certificate of debt for failure to implement the remedial action for financial loss that could have been suffered by the OBT. And at the moment, we are in the process of appealing the office. And we, for the 18-19 cycle, we're busy with phase one, where certain auditors were selected for the implementation. And in the coming year, we will be going into phase two. Still, we will not still be taking all auditors. There will be a certain number of auditors that will be identified, but there will be a lot more than the ones that were selected for phase one. Because we don't want to make a mistake while we are implementing this new mandate, and we are still building capacity internally to ensure that we are up for the task. Slide 27 just defines what we mean by legal irregularity, that is non-compliance or contravention with legislation, and it will also be due to fraud, theft, or breach of fiduciary duty, or that resulted or is likely to result in a material financial loss, or misuse of material public resource or substantial harm to a public sector institution or the general public.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Honorable Director, we did get your apology. Yeah, we did get your apology. And the apology was accepted by all of us. We will commence with Honorable Khalo coming this way up to the week here. Honorable Bella. We have Chief Chair. We have about an hour to both raise issues, comment, and get responses from the AG's office. Thank you, Honorable Carlo.
Honorable Carlo.
Galo.
Galo.
Galo. Honorable Galo. I'm sorry.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Let me first and foremost appreciate the presentation by the Office of the AG. And I don't have a lot to say, but I'm not sure whether. What is the number of this slide? Because they are not numbered.
Oh,
okay. Number eight.
Number eight.
You're getting old. No, Chair, I was impressed here on this accountability week when I saw the impact. Better life for citizens. I was thinking that perhaps the Office of the AG is having, how to say, your engineers on the ground that will be able to check the quality of the services that are provided to the citizens of this country. For instance, at your local government level, because you find that when you talk of your access road, for instance, the taxpayers' money will be spent there. Let's say, for instance, an access road of plus minus 3 kilometers. 4 to 5 million has been spent there, but you will find that the quality of that particular road is not up to standard. So I thought perhaps the Office of the AG, if you don't have your own civil engineers or highly qualified people in that regard, perhaps Chair, we need to recommend that the offices like the Office of the AG, they must have those highly qualified people, so that when you go and start your audit, your auditing, at least you have an information on the services that have been provided by a particular local municipality for that matter. So I would suggest that, Honorable Chair, thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Kahalo.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation from AG's office. And at the same time, Chairperson, I think the people that was answer our questions the most are not here. And we'll end up being confused and dealing with the wrong thing. But I think for
at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll be with them.
Okay, no, that's proper.
Because yeah, this is preparatory thing.
Yeah, that's proper because we want them. We really want them. If you can check, there was a good work before, till 2017. All of a sudden, everything goes down. And people must account what really happened. And Chairperson, I think the issue of consequence management is what is lacking in all departments. Is what is lacking. Because we make noise every year about the regressions, about the same findings repeating themselves every year. But at the end of the day, nothing is happening to anyone. Without wasting a lot of time, Chairperson, let me take you to this slide of fraud and lack of consequences. Look at it. Nothing. Investigation, nothing. It shows all is well. Nothing is investigated, nothing is done. All the categories, 0%, 0%, 0%. What does it tell you? It tells you people are not serious about this thing. People, they don't care about this sexual mind. They don't care. We hear a story here of a building that was reported completed. But the building has never had roof. Nothing. What does it mean? What does it mean? Is dishonesty a lie? And if the AG's office didn't have ground soldiers to go and check, that lie was going to last forever, not exposed. So it means we have employed dishonest people which are opening a room for fraud and crime, criminality. Fact. Because if you are saying there's a roof and there's no roof, what does it mean? Those people, we must know. Those people must, we must know who was responsible and what happened. And then we need a report. And then we check, otherwise we'll keep facts in our department and our people never get safety. Another example is this one of Mpumalanga. The project is completed, but there's nothing. It's theft. It's corruption. It's not easy corruption. Theft of the highest order. So these people must account. The what matters, Chairperson, is when we find that the fruitless expenditure, instead of going down, is going up. What does it mean? Not learning from the history. It's not about learning. It's about wanting to eat more. It's about eating these things, because once the financial statements are not matching your expenditures and everything. What does it mean? We want that money. We want to know where is that money. We want it. So those things must account. As we have put ourselves on the foot to say this portfolio committee is going to do a robust oversight. It must start here. It must start. We understand the minister is new, but even the previous minister, our people must know that he's not as good as other people claim. It should be. Because now we'll end up taking the new person who was not responsible for the whole thing. So we must know who was that. If it was Hanekom, it must be known that Hanekom did the mess. It's simple as that. I mean, from 1 million to 120 million, and then national revenue. And then irregular expenditure again, from 4 million to 121 million. Then we must have to say, life goes on. Whose life? Life of the youth. Why is our people are suffering on the ground? Oh, this money was supposed to be put down there where we're talking of villages, townships, and the small villages, where nothing is happening. While people are eating money on top of it. I think Jefferson will end up taking the role before. Let's wait for them later on, and then they will know us better. Thanks very much.
So, ventilation. Honorable Gumbi? Honorable Director? But we can allow him to settle. Maybe or your runner or so on Director? Okay, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for indulging me in my late arrival. A lot of questions, well, most of the questions I have really are for the later meeting because the Auditor General's presented their finding. I want to just thank the Auditor General's office for the frank assessment and also to express my concern. Similar to what my colleague has said, that there seems to be lack of controls, there seems to be lack of accountability, money's been spent incorrectly and and fruitlessly and so forth. But these are issues that we need answers for in the later meeting, so I'll reserve that for later. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks very much as well to the AG's office. Chairperson, in the one recommendation here, it says here to the department and its entities, develop action plans to ensure that action plans are implemented timely to address your audit findings. Now, I think that when you end up having that kind of a recommendation, it's highly problematic because if I'm reading it correctly, your accounting officer ultimately has got to make sure that whatever your action plans are, they are implemented timely, and when they are not, people are held accountable for failure to do their jobs or not doing their jobs properly. But I'm not too sure where we've gotten to when we have to develop an action plan to make sure that the action plan is implemented. I almost sympathize, or I don't know, with the AG in terms of even with that recommendation in terms of where are we going with that? Where are they trying to get to? Because maybe I've never been an accountant officer. I don't understand an action plan to make sure an action plan is is implemented. Because within your own action plan there are guidelines. You know, when this doesn't happen, you step in here. This person, there are checks and balances on that. But that's perhaps the only thing, otherwise everything else is not related for the AG. But perhaps maybe they can comment on that.
Okay, another one.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I also reserve some of the questions for a later meeting because some of the things are internal issues or administrative issues. However, I still have some questions which are related to the AG. My first question is about the internal audit, which I believe that every department should be having, and it should work hand in hand with the Office of the Auditor General to ensure that there are some reports that you receive and also working towards your final audit before this current stage is actually happening. So I want to find out if you were able to work together with that internal audit committee of the department itself, of the two departments. That's the structure that is supposed to be there. The second question is about the reoccurrences, because you have mentioned in slide 13 that there are some actions that happened and actually they were supposed to have been corrected, but they were not corrected. And I think in your language you use them as the reoccurrencing factors. So now I want to know, did you manage to monitor those things before they can reoccur so that you can actually assist the department to go the right direction? I believe that the Auditor General's office is not only to point out but to also assist the department to have an unqualified audit or end up with a clean audit. So I want to find out how much support did you give to that department in order to avoid their reoccurrences? And also, if there have been some of the areas where you have pointed out that they need to correct, how many percent of those previous recommendations, how many percent of them were resolved by the department? Or maybe you just recommended, but there was nothing that was actually improved in terms of correcting those measures. So those are my questions. Your support, and how many percent of the improvements have been done in the previous financial year in order for them to correct, in order for us to have better audit outcomes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let's appreciate whatever report that was. Thank you, sir. Let's appreciate what was presented by Auditor General to us as the Portfolio Committee Chair. What I note, there's change in their operations now that we see somebody who is responsible for tourism and the person in a senior level. I did not notice them last time when they were here. My questions would be, Chair, though I reserve others for the afternoon meeting, but now let me ask them. What is it that the Office of the Auditor General recommend with regard to the repeat findings that come all the way from 2011 when there was still the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism? If it was a debt, I would recommend that it be written off.
Irrecoverable.
Because it's always coming. Those that are coming from the update back 2011. What is it that you recommend? So that we advise the department. You advise us so that you assist us in doing our oversight role over the department and its ethics. And also, what is your recommendation where there is no progress? Because we sometimes hear that there are reported cases to security agencies or such when there is no progress reported, because their role is just to report that there is this case. What's your recommendation then if they don't get progress report from security agencies? I also appreciate the fact that you have extended your mandate to physically visit the project, because you are adding to what we are doing as a portfolio committee. But ours is to advise Parliament, continuously advise, but you are also making it your own role also to visit those projects. With regard to what you highlighted in page 25, where you say you are also conducting a capacity building program, I was interested in your target, because there you highlighted accounting officers, authorities, and executives. If you want to get what you want, don't you think you must also add internal auditors, whatever they that dealing with control, so that you are able to get what you want one day? I also wanted to have a say that you are saying you have no report with regard to the performance of the Fifth Administration's portfolio committee. Because if you had something, this Fifth Administration portfolio committee on tourism would draw lessons from what was the what they were doing right, or improving on what they were doing wrong. I am disappointed that you are saying you have nothing to say with regard to the portfolio committee in the field of tourism in the field parliament. My last question would be, how does this new law assist you with regard to identified acts of mismanagement, or let me say repeat findings in relation to mismanagement of funds or any planned wrongdoing by the department? How does the law, that is the act that has been signed, how does it assist your office? Thank you very much.
Thanks, thank you very much. Chairman, I would only two. On page 13, there is the findings on compliance of key legislation. It seems to be the same, no changes of 2017-2018. And my question is, in your process of doing your own work in terms of auditing, didn't you find maybe a cut and paste kind of an approach, or is that a good way to well, I just wanted to check that. And of course, I think my colleague Umama Abba has covered me on page 25, but the question, the direct question was you seems to have a program that doesn't have some deadline in terms of internal building capacity programs, you know, for AG. How long will that take? Because it does have an impact on your performance, on how you do our work for. Thanks.
Okay. Chief Chair, are you going to be saying something?
Yeah,
you'll come after me. Sip your tea or coffee in the meantime. During the reconfiguration of departments, there are some challenges that relate to migration, inheritance, transfer, problems of seamlessness in as far as reconfiguration of departments are concerned. I would suggest that maybe the AG's office should look at do some kind of a study on experiences emanating from reconfigurations, necessary as they are. What is the impact on expected financial management outcomes? Lessons that we can draw from there and how we can use those lessons to move forward. I'm saying so because it has affected the Department of Tourism, I mean, as far as where they used to be located before with environment and so on is concerned. Linked to that is risk. So that AG's office can say, what are the inherent risks in matters of reconfiguration, and departments should going forward, or government in general, in developing mitigation strategies around matters of risk, that they pay more attention to that, because it's inevitable that in between the term of office or when the new administration comes in, like when they seek now, there's bound to be a reconfiguration of departments. We've now been in government for 26 years, so there should be lessons to say. If Pete has become a president, he would want to look at the AG's issues around reconfigurations, inherent risks, and how we must deal with that. Because in most cases, departments are just announced and so on, and it's up to the new incumbent to see how they get to do reintegration and migration of other issues. Handover processes are not things that are legislated. It's a person-to-person, department-to-department agreement. So you can't say these are the expected processes, procedures, legislated that you need to adhere to during the handover processes, and we want to check if you follow them to the latter. We don't have that. So it's a gray area which then creates problems. That's my first issue, which I think the AG's office may want to invest some time in. The other recommendation to the AG's office is on integrated performance monitoring and evaluation system, that when the plans are done, the annual performance plan and everything. Currently in the country we don't have a system where all these APPs are integrated through this system of performance monitoring and evaluation, so that the system can then be able to tell you on a daily, weekly, monthly basis to detect as to whether from a performance perspective, particularly around financial management issues, whether departments are indeed those levels of assurance that they would have given to the Auditor General, whether on an ongoing basis they're indeed adhering to that, so that we don't come at the end. I know for auditing we come at the end, but ongoingly we can be able to, from the AG's office, say we are detecting the following, then we can communicate that to the bodies of oversight. Then later, if the bodies of oversight also sleep on the job, you are able to demonstrate that the AG's office, that the body of oversight, on so many occasions throughout the year, we sensitize you. We send you this correspondence, and this correspondence we didn't suck the information, don't suck it. It comes from the system based on the APP that was presented and all the associated assurances that we got from the department, and therefore you as the body of oversight, you also did not do your work effectively and efficiently. So you may want to look at that. I know it's going to be very costly, because it has to be for the entire country, all the departments, all the provinces, all the municipalities, and you have one dashboard system where you can look at distance. But I'm sure it can be done on a, you can phase it in gradually. You begin to talk about it now, the country must know that this is where we are going. One day in South Africa, we'll have a seamless integrated system, also as part of a fourth industrial revolution. That will be my second proposal. And on the second proposal, some discussions at the senior level of the AG's office must happen with the president to discuss this performance monitoring seamless system, so that the president itself can have a system that you as the AG's office, you could look at, and based on the assurance, you are then able to say whether indeed as the executive we are indeed performing and adhering based on the assurances we gave to you, but using that system as a tool to achieve our intended objectives, so that the AG's office could reflect on that to say whether they think the system is indeed working or not. The third is a comment and a proposal at the same time. It's us here as the committee. We are going to be introducing a community-based tourism oversight system, which will be done through some forums. And as we said, our focus will be on value for money on the ground. It means that information will come from the ground, and we'll use it to make more effective and efficient our oversight. We don't have the budget as the committee to have an IT kind of a system that we could do. We have to do through Parliament. But we are going to be doing that. So it's to make you aware that we are going to be doing that. But linked to it, I don't know, Chief Chair, if this has been done in this and the fourth administration. Monthly reports are very important. Very, very important. Therefore, from where I'm sitting, as a committee, we should be, and I think we are going to be doing that, to say to the department, based on your plans, we would want to lay our hands on your monthly reports, so that we don't become surprised after 12 months when the AG has done the audit. It's only then that we realize that in Mpumalanga there was supposed to be a structure, but it's not existing. So when we receive the reports on a monthly basis, we will, as a committee, be able to say, here we think we must go and do personal verification. Or our forum on the ground will send them and say, please go and verify for us whether this thing's existing or not. And through that, we are able to communicate with the office of the AG as the portfolio committee and say, be aware that we are sensing the following things based on the monthly reports we are getting from the department. And I think maybe as a committee, comrades and honorable members, we must insist that it might be necessary as a committee to get a separate briefing as part of the monthly or quarterly report from the internal auditors. From the internal auditors, because the responsibility of the internal auditor is to do detection. Early detection and be able to advise. So it might be necessary for us to call them, the internal auditors, sit down with them, so that by the time the AG comes in, we as a committee have satisfied ourselves that they are also executing their responsibilities properly, and that maybe it's because the SAT and the department are not heeding to their recommendations, or maybe they are not getting support or whatever. But we must be able ourselves to detect what is the problem there by having regular interactions with the people who do internal audit in the department. Chief Chair, the opportunity is now yours.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just have only one issue to raise, and my apologies if it has been raised by the other honourable members while I was excused outside. I'm interested in the issue of consequence management, you know, because as far as I know is that the AG has been empowered by legislation to also, in the process of doing their audit, to be able to hold a person accountable for their actions that are untoward in regards to mismanagement of funds, fruitless expenditure, and so on. I want to find out from the auditors who are auditing this portfolio of ours to say what are the mechanisms and systems that you can give to us as a portfolio committee to say in this area we are going to use the legislation that empowers the AG to be able to hold people accountable. Because as far as we know, we are also doing oversight, but you also have a statutory responsibility to hold persons accountable, you know, for mismanagement of funds. Perhaps if you share with us, we might put our resources together and be able to assist you in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Oh, I forgot a small thing or two. If in your response you can just indicate what percentage of this fruitless and wasteful expenditure it is based on the budget. So the total is 241.5. You can correct it later if my calculations are wrong. But if you can just convert it for me into percentages. You know that a student who gets 98, 95% in class, we get for distinction. Distinction. Yeah. I'm not there yet. I'll come later when you indicate to me the students that we are looking at now. At what percentage did the student perform? So that we can say to the student, the remaining 7, 5, or 3%, this is how we think you can learn lessons from the remaining percentage for you to get 100. Over to you. Okay, Gumba, it looks like...
No, I was just...
Something is triggering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Although I was...
Yes.
Yes. No, I just wanted because with the little information
that I received from this committee that, you know, there has been another entity or the department, environmental attract, together with this committee before. Now I want to find out when you treat your audit, were you able to separate the two activities and their budgets, and maybe was there no confusion whether you find placing errors of other department to the other department, and how did you deal with that separation of errors or whatever misstatement? Thank you.
All right. Asian Africans are here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson and members, for questions and comments. Then I will respond to some of the questions, and my colleagues also have questions. I think starting with the Honorable Carlo Matka. Then I think one question that you posed to us was whether it was a question or recommendation in terms of involving the recommendation. Yes, I think I just want to acknowledge that because it does help. And this exercise, for the outcome that we are presenting to you now, what is the result of that integration? Where we brought in the expertise, the engineers, the quality surveyors. That's what resulted in having CAPI models. I think I agree with you that it's important that we mix with the engineers. I think point is taken. Okay. I think you were providing more comments. I think it's our responsibility as an office to empower the PC so that we can have some insights and have those questions to the department. And the department, I agree, I think should be able to have the responses to some of the questions that you've been asking. I think also, you just more on questions. And I think on Gumbi, your comment was mostly on the action plan. I think there may be probably the waiting issue, because normally if you want to have an effective action plan, you don't necessarily develop and implement. I think there was the DG or the deployer part of the need to develop and implement action plan, not necessarily develop. I think maybe it could be a waiting issue. That seems like we are saying they must develop an action plan that will address action plan. And that was not the intention. I think the decision is to develop and implement action plan. And therefore, as a political committee, we need to monitor, ask them to provide a single plan and the progress on addressing or on implementing those action plans. Mm. Yeah. Okay, I think my colleague will deal with Honorable Kumpa on the issue of the internal audit, how the board will cooperate with the internal audit and the other questions there. And the question that I want to deal with, I think it was on the issue of the old, in terms of the recommendation, if the projects were old. How far can we go? And if projects are old, like the money was spent long, what can we recommend to the political committee? I think our recommendation mostly is first we have to, there has to be a thorough investigation with respect to that particular loss. Then only if there are no any other ways after the result of the evaluation of the post other means, for example the right of but that has to be done only at the last resort. But of course we need to make sure that we institute the legal proceedings if there's any way of recovering the money from those that have committed the lost them. In terms of the target, I think you mentioned also about the target of the audience when we do the capacity building. We do not necessarily limit to the account officers, the executive or management, but we allow management to invite the internal auditors. But sometimes we were not necessarily imposed in certain when they must bring along the implementers. But it's important, I think I agree with you that sometimes it's important that we filter them down to the people that are implementing the controls. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that will encourage the departments to should limit ourselves to the executive and also go down to the lower level. Chairperson, I think I agree with you. I think you talked about the configuration. You talked about the integration. And those are the things that when we put it, special performance information, we are constantly engaging with the TPD together with the National Treasurer. For those initially, you remember the custodian of the performance management was Treasurer, therefore it was moved to TPD. And that even in terms of reporting, we don't have a proper system or a proper framework on how we should report the thing. We are still using the treasury as this enterprise management system. And that, I think, is the item that we need to have that code engagement so that that can be taken to the DPME and there can be even that integrated system so that we can support the global as opposed to look at one entity at one go. I don't have the recommendation that we take. I think we'll continue to engage with both the right department of DPME and the national treasury as well. I think, on the issue of the mandate, I think my colleague indicated that how we approach the implementation of the public good act, we approach it in a phased-in approach then. Because what we want to do, as much as we got the powers, then we didn't want to be reckless and dangerous. But this is new. Therefore, we have to have proper systems so that when we implement it, it's not approach. We don't know, we're not going to have issues in terms of prevention. We did a phase-on approach where we stated audits, especially those with that had a lot of federal expenditure. Then where we implemented this for the last KPM, where we implemented this new public good act. And now we're in the process again of implementing, increasing the pool of the routines that we actually implementing this one. Then we are doing that process. I think as soon as that process is done, we'll be able to communicate with the PC on how this is going to help us to deal with the mismanagement. It's going to assist us in terms of that night. How we're going to move to, if for example, over the regular expenditure, we're not going to stop at the regular expenditure. We're going to go a step further and determine whether there was any financial loss. If there was any financial loss, there will be a remedial action that has been issued to the account officer to go and recover that loss. And if there are no recovery, therefore we're going to take steps further, we're going to issue the certificate now to the accounting officer. But first, there will be an opportunity for the account officer to do what they put to recover the loss. That if they can't recover, like what if they don't show willingness to recover, then we can quantify, or we can refer the matter to the public body to do some further investigation, or we can do it by ourselves and quantify the loss and request the necessary the relevant account officer to obtain to pay the loss. That's how we're going to approach it, and that's how it's going to actually assist us in terms of what is in that. Okay.
Sorry, Honorable Khalifa, I didn't see you.
On Honorable Mote has concerned to say that the portfolio did well until
Butega.
Until 2017, and what happened. I think it's also important to highlight that it only became a requirement since 2016-17 for the department to report on this project on the financial statements. Previously, they would just be added as annexes and we were not auditing them. So we started auditing them last year and the department started regressing last year. And on the issue of no consequence management, when we raise findings, for example, we raise findings for the current year 18-19. We are going to give the department an opportunity to implement corrective action plans for this year. And then during the current audit, the 19-20 will follow up if there were consequences done. It will be unfair for us to report something now and expect the consequences to be implemented now. That's why you are seeing on slide 22 to say there was no consequences because last year we didn't have significant issues. It's not that they didn't take corrective action plans, but there were no significant issues to investigate and take response management against the responsible officials. But last week we did have a meeting with the minister after the audit outcomes, and she indicated that the department they will be really taking consequence management. And I think in the media yesterday, it was also reported that I think two officials already have been suspended at the department. So it shows that the department is serious about consequence management. On Honorable Gumba's question regarding whether we worked well with internal auditors. Yes, we did work with internal auditors. They shared the report that they had. Hence, we assessed them green on the level of assurances, because these issues they also highlighted to the department. And regarding the reoccurrences of findings and what do we do to try to assist the department, there were findings that we reported last year that the department managed to resolve. I remember last year we had a material non-compliance on transportation. So that is one area that they managed to resolve so that it doesn't hit the audit report. And during the audit, we do engage with the department and the entity, and we highlight issues that may shift them at the end of the year. It's just that with this one, we were following up on the action plan that the department committed to say that they would have finished implementing the recommendations from their GTEC that they reported by end of March, and they were already aware of the issue. And whether we're able to separate the issues and errors between environmental affairs, for example, and the Department of Tourism. Yes. At the moment, the budgets are completely separate. Environmental affairs will get its own allocation and it will implement its own project. We will audit the department based on the things that they were allocated to after the two departments separated. So we didn't mix issues. Okay, Honorable Peter's question regarding no changes in key legislation, is it the cut and paste approach? I didn't get this question correctly. If you can just repeat what you meant.
He was saying that the tendency.
Yes.
Within government, different the three spheres to do cut and paste.
Okay.
Whether in the course of you doing the auditing in this instance, you did come across such an occurrence or not?
Oh, no, we didn't. But I think the main issue was the interpretation of, especially with the Fed, you know, the interpretation of the law, especially with the variation of contracts, to say that, for example, the contract, the way it's structured, it will say we have a contract for 3 years with an option to renew for 2 years. So the way they interpreted it was that since the contract allows an option to extend, they don't need approval from National Treasury, which was not correct. I'm not sure if I've left any questions unasked, but...
Yes.
I'm not sure whether I have them answering this one.
Okay.
Whether their mandate has been extended to include performance of the portfolio quality. Because you said you don't have a report, because this is the new term of the committee.
Okay.
Can you have an answer on that?
Yes.
Okay, before you answer, there's another follow-up.
Yes.
To another one, three followers.
Yes, sir.
Gumba Gumba and
Ndatunzi. Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, here I find two opinions in one. I don't know. If you say
slide number.
Slide number. Slide interpretation.
Page.
What credible financial reporting? Number 11. They have achieved and qualified.
Honorable Gumba Gumba, we are talking about this gangster.
Yeah,
there's a man who has been operating it for 30 years. So I saw him being honored on TV. He's now retired. So this one who is doing it is a fresher. You can hear with the impact. It's really arrived. Okay.
Yes.
Which page?
Page 14, Chair.
Yes.
Yes. it's talking about two opinions here, the qualified and unqualified. And SAT achieved an unqualified opinion because it did not have material misstatement identified during the audit, but had material non-compliance findings and material misstatement
on
11, yes. Sorry, Chair. Yes. Now, I'm not sure about your statement. Is it qualified or unqualified? Because it's now showing two sides of qualified and unqualified. Can you clarify that one?
Okay.
There are two examples that were given here and they were very serious. So we need details of them. The project of Northwest and the project of Mubaraka. Because we can't now let anyone account on something that we don't have details of. Thank you.
All right.
Regarding the slide 11, so the entity received unqualified audit opinion because we didn't have material misstatement on the financial statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They had material misstatement on the determined objectives and non-compliance, material non-compliance with laws and regulations. That's what we mean by that. So they had, if you have material errors on the predetermined objective, it doesn't impact your overall audit opinion. You can still be qualified even though you have material errors on the predetermined objective.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Qualified.
Or you are still alive, but you've got serious health problems. But we declare you as being alive. But it doesn't mean for we don't have chronic disease and illness. But we are here. So this is a good thing. No one is here. Okay, okay. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
I think on the question of expanded mandate, whether like I mean there is the role by the committee, how is going to implement this? If for example like the NDT you had a portfolio or department forms part of phase two of implementation, then as soon as there are any material irregularities, there are any issues that we want to establish, those issues will be brought to the attention of the portfolio committee for their oversight.
Okay,
if you're quickly,
Alexis. Okay,
Chair, I have to ask on the issue of the AG being able to give us red flags before the finalization of the audit process, and I didn't get a response on whether they are willing or how they will be interacting with us so that the red flags are flagged before you actually come for your planned interaction with us annually. Because we don't want to only see you once a year, you know. But we want to, even if we don't see you once a year, but we want to be red flagged on the issue, so that when we are interacting with the department, we are able to tell them that the Auditor General has already highlighted this issue. Can you tell us what are the mechanisms and the measures that you are putting in place to ensure that at the end of the financial year, you are able to comply?
I am implementing terms for your committee. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think we can do that. I think we can plan the engagement, we can have the engagement before even the final audit, where we brief about the issues.
I think we can do that. Just a matter of maybe arranging for another day or two.
Okay.
Sir, regarding the percentage, you requested for like specifically. Is it both?
Okay, I think
with a rough estimation, because I know the allocated budget is around 2 billion,
yeah.
And the fruitless comes to about 10%.
Yeah.
And yes, I think it will be more or less the same with irregular as well, because they are very close to each other.
So the student has got
10%. And then if you add the 6% of the fruitless wasteful expenditure with under utilization of the budget, what you might find that there is about maybe 3 to 4% of money that was not used. So you get a large amount of budget that was supposed to be used but was not used correctly.
So it's 6% plus the rollover.
Yeah, you can say that, but I just want to highlight that most of these projects and wasteful expenditure wouldn't come from the current year's allocation. It would be the previous year. Okay. Yeah.
So the student got 94%, more or less, the distinction. But we are concerned about the student having been prepared and everything done so to get 100%. So she or he goes to the next level. Progress. Okay. That's on the right level. Yes. Honorable members, it's now 2 minutes before 12:10. I don't know if there is something you want to amplify. If there's none, because the bigger battle is coming in the afternoon, it might be better to recoup energy that is necessary for that bigger battle. If there is nothing to amplify, Honorable Mojika?
Chairperson, I think I set up. Do they have information about that specific project? So that
the
Bumalanga and Northwest. There are two. The roofless one and the non-existing one. That's what I want.
The one you are going to see is Manyani King Lodge. It's 15 kilometers into the city on the left-hand side when you come from Zira. I'm saying this because I went, when there was a problem last year about this project, I went south. I didn't ask anybody. In the morning, after being picked up, I said, we're not going to the office. The car is going to Manyani Game Lodge. So immediately I arrived there. I then called the MEC, the HOD. I also called the Honorable Haneko because they said the budget was coming from the Honorable Haneko, and I said, it doesn't matter. The money belongs to the taxpayer. So whether it's national or it's local or whatever, we need to... Yeah, it's quite a disastrous project, the one in my game, the Manyani Game Lodge. So I was doing pre-oversight before I came to the committee, for the committee. I did pre-oversight. And then the Mpumalanga one? Or is it Eastern Cape? The non-existing one. I can remember you made an example to say, or is it Mpumalanga? Okay.
I think, Jefferson, I think what I wanted to propose to you was that you can, through your office, you can provide the specific details.
Okay. I know you're almost done, but
I'm sorry to take you back. I'm sorry to take your committee back, but I'm still not satisfied, Chair. Even if they can answer me in 1 second, they'll be happy. My question is, what type of initiative did you ensure that you give, especially the support to the committee, to ensure that at the end of the fourth quarter, you get the good outcomes in terms of the audit report? Because according to my assessment, it's like you are just auditing once a year and coming up here to give us a report to say it's unqualified or qualified or maybe clean. But unfortunately, I don't see anything that says this is what you've discovered the previous financial years and this is where you have actually assisted them to improve and this is now where we are in terms of good results. I haven't had anything coming from the support. That's my worry. Thank you, Chair. That question was not properly answered.
Okay.
Even 1 minute.
Okay. No, thank you, and I apologize to all the members for feeling good contact. I mean, with respect to the support that we provide to the Treasury Department, we do so. First of all, we do the quarterly changes. We do meet with the accounting officers, indicating upfront. These are the issues that you should look might be
raising. How do
you
want to visit
the Yeah, we do meet with him and his management team to give him the indicators of the possible issues that might be raised, that might affect the audit opinion.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. And in terms of the number of findings that we recommend in the past and that have been themselves, we can also give you the details of that in terms of covering the steps.
So what will happen now, Honorable Gomba, is that going forward, because by shutting, the AG's office will, whatever they bring to the attention of the department or SAT, they will also copy us. So they be aware that we have engaged SAT and the department on the following. So we are also bringing it to your attention. But on our side also, we are going to be insisting on monthly reports. But we are also going to be interacting with the internal audit committee of the department. But we also have tourism oversight forums on the ground that are going to be briefing us about many things, including projects themselves, fiscal verification, and so on, community satisfaction, and whatever. So they are going to be briefing us about all those related things. We want to, before we thank you, you want to thank us.
No, sir, I have the name of the other project.
Mpumalanga?
Yes.
My name?
It's Barberton Tourism and Diabetes Corridor.
You know what I'm talking about? Barberton
Tourism and Diabetes Corridor.
Barberton Tourism
and
Biodiversity Corridor. Yeah, biodiversity corridor. It is so there's no corridor. They went and checked, the corridor is not there. Over to you, my friend. You want to do closing remarks?
No, yeah, we would like to thank the honorable members in terms of the interactions that we've had. Some of the questions were a bit challenging, but yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. On our side, we want to really take this opportunity as a portfolio committee to assure you that we will continue to work with you to strengthen oversight. You are a body of oversight and accountability. We are a body of oversight and accountability. So we will continue to make sure that we work together with you to achieve the intended objectives and assure society on value for money based on the taxes that they pay. Thank you very much, and we'll see you later and in future. Foreign. Relevo. Robo. Honorable members, in 2 minutes or so when the AG has left, we'll then deal with the minutes. Next item.